This is Rod Peterson on demand. No!
Waiting in line to pay for my groceries, and a lady right in front of me farted. Loudly.
How about that?
I've grabbed a magazine off the rack like this. What makes you think you can wear a mask, but you can stand there and fart?
So now, you know, instead of coughing to hide a fart, now you got a fart to hide a cough in COVID.
We knew this was here, was backwards.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the RP Show. How about that?
How about that?
Welcome to the show. Canada's daytime sports talk show is on the air. It is episode number 372. Don't be alarmed. You're seeing some changes to the set here. Sorry, guys. You told me to move. I've added something. They told you to wear a mask, right? I'm so excited. I know our listeners can't see it. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, but our viewers sure as hang can.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. There was something about the outdoor hockey that got me feeling romantic yesterday. I went down to Canadian Tire, and I bought a net. And I bought a goalie mask.
You did?
I could have gone even more. I bought what they call a skills net. Are you aware? Have you seen these things?
With the little pockets in the corners?
No. It's a net that's about 6 inches wide. Oh. Maybe 8 inches wide.
Yeah.
And of course I walk in. I left this in my car. I didn't even dare show this to my wife that I bought it. Because it would have been what are you doing?
Right.
And I got that with the skills net. She's like, what is that for? I'm like, for when we play outdoor hockey and there's no goalies. So you can shoot from 40 feet away. If you can get it in that net, you win or you score.
Yeah.
So Canadian Tire has a lot of outdoor hockey supplies, I can tell you that. Or road hockey.
Yeah.
So I've added this. I've added this goalie mask today, and I think it looks great. We've just moved the bobbleheads around a little bit. So as we're in the holiday spirit here, changing things up a little bit. And I'm telling you what, you're going to love today's show. I know that I do. We're stepping somewhat outside the norm. Brendan Kotick is joining us from the South Carolina Stingrays. You may have seen it on our marquee board that he was coming on. He's a guy that's been following me on Twitter for the years and over the years and vice versa. I didn't know much about him. I'd never met him. He's a Saskatchewan guy, played pro for a lot of years. He's now coaching with the South Carolina Stingrays in the ECHL. Third level pro league. Goes at NHL, AHL. ECHL, they're playing.
Unbelievable.
Now, I probably shouldn't be totally surprised because it's in America. Because right now in Canada, everything's shut down in sport. Everything. But I'm excited to talk to Brendan Kotick from the South Carolina Stingrays, which incidentally, they're based in Charleston, South Carolina, which Game Plus is part of their cable package down there. We were just getting text messages the other day from people watching in South Carolina on TV.
That's right.
See how everything's coming together? It's unbelievable. And I've got more on that, but I want to find out how the South Carolina Stingrays and the ECHL are playing. Mm-hmm. And can we somehow, obviously the hockey people in Canada are, I would hope, looking into that too, as to how they could get onto the ice. But I'm looking forward to that interview.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's exciting. They're, the only league that's playing, or one of the only ones, you know, that are playing and on the ice and planning to play. So that's incredibly exciting.
As producer Clark just asked in the Facebook Live comments, let us know where you're watching from today. We love that. We love that. We'd like to know where our viewers reside. Also coming up on the program today, the president of Boxing Canada, Canada's toughest mayor, Pat Fiacco, will be with us. And the reason that we've got Pasquale Fiacco coming in is to talk about all kinds of things. But he, of course, is the president of Boxing Canada. Saturday night when I was tweeting about Tyson Jones, Pat was answering me with his take on the fight. And I said, Clark, let's get Pat in here. He's no stranger to the bunker. He watches every day on Sastel Max TV. He's a fan. Pat Fiacco's a brand. So let's bring him in. We could even talk about he and I being the celebrity flag droppers at the raceway, the Motor Speedway this summer.
That's cool.
I got a lot of love and affection for the Fiacco clan. So Pasquale's going to come in and we'll talk about the fight game and whatever else comes up. The sports climate, if you will, and politics, because he brings a broader, more open-minded view than I have. Fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
And then there's a lot going on in soccer, too, by the way. And Simon Fudge is going to be joining us from the left coast to talk about MLS playoffs, CPL news, Vanny stepping down, the coach of Toronto FC, which everybody's writing me that I should care about. At this point, I do not. What I've realized about this show and this channel, who's calling me now? Somebody in Montreal, Quebec. Do you think it's a rotary dial?
We'd like you to fill out a survey.
Don't you know I'm on the air? And there's construction going on.
Incidentally, that also got the construction to stop. Don't you know I'm on the air?
They're building the amphitheater next door. Paul clearly knows something about widespread vaccinations and large gatherings, because the amphitheater is being built right now as we speak. Once they're done with COVID tests, we'll be taking DNA tests. The father is... Jordan. Anyways, let's go to... No. Comes out of the cage back here. All right, let's go to the quick six show topics, please, Jordan. The aforementioned most underrated director in show business, Jordan Blodgett, hitting that. Number one, curling bubble in Calgary. Huge news coming down today and last night. Boy, those PR guys really know what they're doing at Curling Canada. And by the way, you know who it is, right? Alan Cameron, our old friend, formerly of the Calgary Herald. He's the top PR guy for Curling Canada. He's like, let's drop the news on Tuesday that there's going to be a news release Wednesday, and we're going to get a 48-hour news cycle out of it. So...
smart.
The curling people, and here's the thing with Clark. Clark's like, should we get our curling guys on and girls? And I said, let's just let it sit for a bit. Let them make their announcement that they're going to have the curling bubble in Calgary for all the championships this year and see where it goes. And then let's bring them on afterwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the days ahead. And that's what we're going to do. But it's nice to work as a team around here like we do. So this year's Briars and Scotty, the Briar and the Scotties are going to be held in Calgary at Canada Olympic Park at the Windsport Arena. And then they also announced in a separate news release that the Scotties, which was supposed to be in Thunder Bay this year, has been moved to next year in Thunder Bay. So things are starting to shake in the curling world. Do you agree with me? And let's just let them make the announcement. And then.
Well, it's incredibly exciting, right? And you know, now that the announcement's out there and we know what's happening, I think that's where the excitement is. And then as we get into the days and the weeks ahead, then we start to analyze what it's going to look like. What are the players doing to get ready? And, you know, we'll start to go through that process. I think it's wonderfully exciting.
That's the big news there. Point two. Jerry Jones doesn't feel bad for the Denver Broncos. And you Canadians are starting to realize what the American sports psyche has been infected with for quite some time, and that is a running commentary of Jerry Jones' thoughts, the owner and general manager of America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. He was on Dallas radio, as he does every Tuesday morning, saying, I don't feel sorry for the Denver Broncos. Look at us. We lost Dak Prescott. We lost the redhead. We got down to Danny Bonaducci as our third-string quarterback. Same thing with the Denver Broncos. Ben DiNucci, of course, was the guy's name. But my point on all of that is we're back to May, June stuff where SportsCenter's finding it tough for content. Nobody's playing. So they're picking up ESPN content, which is Jerry Jones' weekly address. It's like the Pope's address. The Pope comes out every Sunday at the Vatican and speaks every Sunday. In Dallas, in Texas, Jerry Jones, it comes out every Tuesday. And he speaks on Dallas radio. So now we're getting it in Canada because there's nothing else going on.
Right.
And nobody else in sports wants to talk in Canada, so we're going to get Jerry Jones' comments, which, incidentally, I'm fine with. It's my team. I want to know what Jerry has to say. And trust me, you're going to get it.
When the prophet speaks, we all listen.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Jerry seems to know what's going on.
So that moves into point three. Was the NFL decision on the Denver Broncos wrong? Does it make the NFL look bush league for making the Denver Broncos play because all four of their quarterbacks were unavailable? They were basically all suspended. I don't know how you want to call it. Were they officially put on the COVID list, or were they? It doesn't matter. They were ineligible. It doesn't matter. So that's our poll question today, because I'm laughing. We talk a lot on this show about perspective. What's your perspective? It really affects how you view things. And now that you and I are sitting over here just kind of looking down on everything, kind of changes how you look at things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So I see people, I see Denver Broncos fans saying, this is Bush League, makes the NFL look Bush League. I see Canadian commentators tweeting that don't say the CFL's Bush League because the NFL's Bush League with this decision. Why is it Bush League? The guys broke the rules, they're suspended, and you still have to play. What I fail to see the difference in how this makes the NFL look Bush League. As a matter of fact, we had Johan in here earlier from the Better With Age podcast. He hosted with Charleston Hughes. And what did he say? Were you sitting there when this came up in our morning meeting? He goes, they're enforcing the rules. It actually makes them look better. Doesn't it?
Yeah, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. I think it does make them look better. And I think there's, you know, people often want to think that fair means the same.
Yeah.
Fair does not mean the same.
No.
Equality, fairness, sometimes they can be related, but it's not the same thing. And in the NFL, this is fair, right? Now, from what I understand, you know, COVID got into the Ravens, but it's not like they were blatantly breaking rules. So you push the game back because you want everything to be safe and you don't want to create more exposure and you don't want to create more spread of the virus. But when it comes to the Denver Broncos, they were breaking the rules. They're breaking the rules. We're wearing masks. So there's no sympathy. You know, they're setting the example. You got to move on. You have other players who can play. There's no risk of, because you've already taken them away and isolated them. So there's no risk of it spreading. And it's not like they have a positive case. They're just in that contact tracing. So they can't play and be around their teammates. So you've contained the spread or any potential hazard, and you don't feel sorry for them.
Chris Bird, watching in Southern Ontario in the GTA, says the NFL is totally not Bush League on this one. Guaranteed the pundits would call the CFL Bush League if it happened here. Shake my head. Emoji. They probably would, but here's what I love about the NFL. And what bothers me about the CFL, the NFL doesn't care. Say whatever you want. We're doing it. It just feels like the CFL is just so afraid of what everybody's going to say. So they don't do anything. Evidenced by so many things, but not the least of which is the fact that they're not on the field this season. And potentially, the NFL doesn't care. We're doing it. God, I admire that. Don't you?
That's pretty great. It's pretty great. And I mentioned this yesterday, but, you know, I was listening to some NFL talk yesterday, and that's what they said. You know, for the first time ever, the league's not as worried about competitive balance. That's going to play out.
Yeah.
They're worried about the virus, and they're worried about setting the example.
You guys got the comment from Trent in Norway. Can I put it up? People are saying that it was a great comment. 5:13 p.m. in Norway right now. Trent says, Norway calling. The curling bubble seems like a good idea. Will there be a last-minute rescheduling of the Ravens and Steelers? Hard to believe the NBA is in training camp, and the Raptors are based in Tampa. Stay well, everyone. That is the Norwegian Sports Report on North American topics. Thank you, Trent. Just don't get your panties in a bunch, folks. I'm getting to all these topics, okay? Can you just hold on? Everybody's so geeked up. Point four, a good one. You realize I'm getting most of my show topics from TSN Sports Center, which I watch religiously. I refer to it as the news. Shh, the news is on. American NHL teams, players, were polled by Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic and TSN about if there's a Canadian division, where do you think the teams will finish? There's a lot of glue sniffing going on amongst American team NHL players because they've got the Toronto Maple Leafs number one. And LeBron kind of danced around this, that he's like, I polled so many players, there's no way this could be a spoof or a goof. Because trust me, I've been around a ton where you're on the bus and they're handing the surveys back to all the guys. They're like, watch this. You know what I mean? Like, they're not taking it seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And LeBron is saying, I polled so many people, this couldn't be a goof, right? That's the lines that I read between. They had Leafs 1, Calgary 2. I didn't write them all down because I was working out. I was riding the bike.
Yeah.
Didn't have a pen and paper handy. And Winnipeg was 6th out of 7. And Ottawa is 7. I mean, Ottawa might contract. They might not even be around by the time this team
They might get relegated.
They might be in the American Hockey League by the time this is done, the Ottawa Senators. But I know Donald Mitchell's watching in Baran, and he says, the Leafs? And I don't really understand it. Like, from a pure talent, you know, Clark's getting upset over there. I can hear him scoffing over this control board. I get the talent.
Yeah.
You didn't even make the playoffs last year, Clark. Yeah. He says that was last year. You didn't even make the playoffs. Number one team in the NHL? Tell me what I'm missing.
Right?
No, tell me. I want an answer.
I mean, it's based on potential. And you just think, I mean, the talent's there. We know that, right? There's no denying it. But they have never won anything. And they have never been able to get, you know, over the hump. So I think in terms of the talent level, I think there's reason to believe that, hey, on paper, they could be matched up with anybody in the NHL, and there's good reason to put them at number one. But in terms of who I'm putting money on to win a Stanley Cup, they're not number one. Not even close.
I know we're running out of time, and we got to get... No, actually, we're not running out of time.
No, we're good.
Because our next guest isn't until 10:40 Central, so we can continue on this. I won't belabor this much more, but... Do we want to turn this into the face-off? Are you going along with the Leafs number one?
I can.
Just do it for the sake of arguing?
I absolutely can. I can absolutely go along with it.
Okay.
They got goaltending. Back end's improved a little bit. They've got the talent up front, and they've restructured the bottom
six. Okay. Yeah.
They've restructured the bottom six. So on paper, the team's great. It is. It's a good hockey team. And, you know, on paper, it might be the best Canadian team and one of the best teams in the NHL. Would I put money on them to win the Stanley Cup? No. They'd be maybe 10th, 11th, 12th.
Don McNeil is watching in Central Ontario, and it's a mic drop. They lost to a Zamboni driver. Number one team in Canada. Are you kidding me? Get off the weed. Clark, stop talking. Last year, my ass.
But, Rod.
What?
They got Joe Thornton now.
Oh, yeah, right. This friggin' senior team they're building there at Scotiabank Arena. The number one team in the NHL. The face-off is for the Mad Greek. In Moose Jaw, visit the Mad Greek for the best authentic Greek cuisine. Available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Head to themadgreekeatery.com. And for Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel, they are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. By the way, the number two team as voted by NHL players are the Calgary Flames, which I had as my number one team, and we did this way back.
Mm-hmm.
So I might know a thing or two about it. And hell, I got to quickly go point five. How is soccer playing? So I want to say this because I've been talking with my sports buddies all the time about, oh, you can play golf, you can box, you can do any non-team sports can play right now. Soccer, not a team sport.
Big field, lots of space, no scoring.
Clearly. I mean, you look at your score app, which I'm on every day multiple times. There's like this many soccer games every day all around the world.
Yeah.
What the hell? They have chosen to not participate in the pandemic. Soccer. And point six, it is NFL game day. Steelers and the Ravens, divisional battle there in the black and blue division, 2:40 Central. My afternoon is planned. We'll break and come back with more of this and get to your topics, okay? There's a lot going on today. And coming up in hour one, Brendan Kotick from the South Carolina Stingrays of the, what I'm going to call the East Coast Hockey League. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Wonderful caliber coffee this morning.
Ooh.
Thanks for joining us, everybody, for coffee today. And now we turn it over to you, the viewer. Why not do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's all get into this conversation together. And by the way, the Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer. Folks talking about this afternoon's NFL clash on a Wednesday afternoon. Carlos in Indianapolis says, NFL football on a Wednesday afternoon? Well, the Argos played on Tuesday nights and Thursday mornings. I don't have a problem with it. I understand a lot of people at work. I also understand a lot of people are not at work. The good news is it feels like we're into the holiday season early.
Doesn't it?
Totally does.
That's what's great about it. It does. It feels like holidays. All these times when you can, you know, do sports at different hours and different days that you're not used to. It's wonderful.
Larry Dye in Medicine Hat's his favorite curling moment, 1972 Silver Broom. Americans had it won, but the skip got too excited, slipped and kicked the Canadian rocks. Canada won in the extra end. It's a big curling day today. Thank you, Larry, for pointing that out. They're announcing the bubble in Calgary for this year's Canadian Championships. And we will be talking about it over the next few days. And Clark is going to put a bug in the ear of Devin Herou, who's the next Vic Router. I'm calling it right now.
Very talented.
Yeah,
and all over curling. And it's the he's got all the info.
Chris Bird in Toronto says, has anyone taken notice of the NWHL's upcoming bubble in Lake Placid, New York? This is arguably the finest women's hockey we will see in 2021, but does anyone care? Honestly, I don't really think that they do. I mean, there's sports that I'm into and there's sports that they're not. Now, I enjoy going to watch my niece play AAA hockey with the Rebels, and I may be making trips if we ever get back to normal to go watch her at Robert Morris University. But if it's not somebody I know, I'm not sitting down to watch pro women's hockey. There's just too many other options out there, and don't at me. I am not interested in it.
No, and this is the Mike Tyson lesson, right? There's much better boxing than what we saw on the weekend. Much, far better boxing every week. But we don't watch it because we don't know them and we don't know their stories and we're not drawn or attracted or attached to them. But we're attached to Mike Tyson because we grew up with Mike Tyson. So we'll watch him, even if it's bad. And so with the women's hockey, we watch Canada. We know the players that are playing for Team Canada. We have that country attachment. We love it. And the hockey's great. And with the NWHL, I'm sure the hockey is fantastic. It is. We've seen it. University hockey in this country is fantastic for the women. It's unbelievable. But until we have a reason and an attachment to the players and the teams, it's like any sport. That's why we won't watch.
That's the point. I enjoy watching my niece's games, but I know my niece and some of the girls on the team. And it's not pro sports. You don't need to know Austin Matthews to enjoy the Leafs. Or whatever you guys do, watching them, enjoying them. But, you know, we were talking about the female kicker for Vanderbilt, Fuller, and the groundbreaking moment that that was. I mean, we're not against women's sports or women in sports at all, obviously. And Darren had a hell of a story about playing hockey because there were girls that played when we were coming up in minor hockey. And the one thing I know about those girls, some of them were my cousins. They didn't want to be treated any different. At all. They had their own dressing rooms, of course, and that's understandable. But it almost happened to a fault, to you.
Yeah, well, we played with three girls. You know, Jessica Prosnick, I remember Janice Bajavich, and Bree Lomberger. And it's funny, I never scored as many goals as when I had one of the girls on my wing. Could skate like the wind.
Yep.
And, you know, really great at passing the puck. But we were playing against Wadena, and we just started body contact, and I remember, and I wasn't a hitter, but I was one of the bigger kids at the time. Stopped growing, I think, at 13 years old. But they came across the middle and laid a big check. Biggest one I've ever laid. And the player was down, like, out. Coach had to come out. And everyone's giving me high fives for the big hit. And it wasn't until they took the helmet off, I realized it was a girl.
Whoops.
Whoops. It was a girl. And I instantly felt horrible. But when you're on the ice and you're in a cage, like, and everybody wants to be treated the same, you know, and nobody felt bad. She wasn't mad. Nobody was mad at me. But, man, you felt awful in the moment. And your heart's just kind of in your throat.
And your coach sarcastically nicknamed you Moose DuPont after that.
Yeah. He's joking.
Big bruiser, knocking out girls. Big bruiser.
Yeah, attaboy, Moosey, you know, in the locker room in the intermission. Joking around, of course, but that was kind of woke everybody up.
Well, God bless those girls because that was the thing. They were, in a way, somewhat ahead of their time because in my case, that was 30 years ago or more. Yours, it was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, the 90s.
And they just wanted to be treated equally. And they're okay with that. By the way, to the poll question, I just get a little annoyed here. There's something wrong with Twitter because it says there's only 12 votes registered on our poll and we put it up like 45 minutes ago. There's a glitch in Twitter again, guys. But anyways, people are writing in to it. Brady in Saskatoon says the wording of the question is a bit off. The question is, does the NFL look Bush League for making the Broncos play in Week 12? Brady says the wording of the question is off. No, it's not, Brady. But he goes on to say, you don't give a team a free pass no matter what. Postponing the game as you did the Ravens was what they should have done, but in no circumstances do you just give a team the week off. I think you're the problem. Got the problem with the wording, Brady, not me. And I'm the one that posted the question, by the way. There's a major difference between what they've done for the Ravens and what they've done for the Denver Broncos. It was four players in the case of the Broncos. That doesn't qualify as an outbreak. From all the rules, I think we are all following the same rules and terminology on this continent, right?
Yeah.
Or on this planet. And the Ravens, almost half the team was infected. I think I got that right.
Yeah. And it's a case of trying to limit the spread, right, so that you can still play games. If you let that game go ahead and all of a sudden Pittsburgh gets contracts the virus and it goes through their organization, and then all of a sudden you get into a point where, hey, we got to have to shut some games down. That's what the NFL wants to avoid.
Yeah.
And so they say, hey, just wait a few days. We'll get everything ordered. Once we get you in the air traveling, which happened yesterday, now we can play the game and everything's fine. But for the Broncos, yeah, you're not wearing your masks. You three don't play. The rest of the team's good.
Some people just like to argue. I feel like Brady is one of those. I don't like to argue. Certainly not anymore. Save that comment from Mike Lee, guys. I'm going to get to it in case it slips off the screen. But I'm at a point in my life now where somebody's saying to me, 2 + 5 = 3. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Have fun with that. You don't know, some people just love to argue, particularly on social media, not doing it. So, Brady, yeah, I screwed up with the wording of the question. You got me. And Mike Lee, do you have that there? From My Deal Mike watching. Everybody's a little, not punchy, but cute today. He says, is it a glitch in Twitter? A twitch or a glitter? I had glitter on my face this morning. The guys were pointing that out. And I said, yeah, I was at the strippers this morning.
The great, great buffet breakfast. Great breakfast.
I remember, we're not filling time here. We're just telling stories until our next guest, Brendan Kotick, joining us from South Carolina. Clark says he's on the ice with practice, the pro hockey team down there. And as soon as he gets off the ice, he'll be joining us. We might have to wait for a break. But I just remember, folks, where we are situated, and I get the question so much, by the way, from our American viewers. Where are you guys? We are just north of the Montana border, 70 to 80 miles. I grew up 60 miles north of the U.S. border, and we used to go down to the bars in Plentywood, Montana, where they had these bars where they had dancers that took their clothes off. So when we came home, I would be covered in glitter. My mom would be like, oh, what did you guys do down there? I see you went to, can't remember the name of the
place. It was a pinata.
Yeah, exactly. How did this glitter get on me? Oh, sorry, Mom. Why there's glitter around here, I have no idea. You didn't have strippers in here this morning, did you?
No, but some of these Christmas ornaments are a little, little glittery.
Gary in Winnipeg asks, when is the lighting of the RP show tree? Because tonight NBC is doing the lighting of the tree at Rockefeller Center.
Yeah.
That's what's pushed the Steelers-Ravens game to 3:40 Eastern. When are we having the lighting of the tree? Saturday night?
Yeah, maybe. That's a good idea. We're going to have to put some lights on it first. We'll light it. We can do it. Special presentation.
Stacy Champagne's watching. He says, great food at the strippers. Best chicken wings, according to the NBA players leaving the bubble. 30 years in sports, I know exactly what they're talking about there. Can we get back on track? Oh, yeah, the Blue Moon. That's what it was, John. Were you guys at the Blue Moon? That was the name of the bar. Thank you. John in Kansas City. We had to go to Kansas City for that, where they had the dancers, the exotic dancers in Plentywood, Montana. By the way, I knew a guy in Weyburn by the name of Marvin Donald. He called it Plenty More. Not Plentywood, Plenty More. Because they'll give you all you want and plenty more.
That's good.
You wonder how we turned out the way that we did. Where are we going from here?
Good question. Good question. A 32-ounce steak sounds pretty good.
from Mike. You want to get back on track? There's a track? We're way off track here.
In the ditch.
Who's the guy? Oh, Donald Mitchell, our Navy friend, says Southeastern Saskatchewan lads would pay Brandon's Keystone Inn their mortgage for years. Yes, they had those dancers at the Keystone in Brandon, and incidentally, I was there too. But there's a story behind that. Actually, it's funny how it's all coming together today. I don't know why I busted into a massive sweat here. I think it's because, am I getting myself in huge trouble? I don't think so.
It's in the past.
Yes, you must move on from your past. But, yeah, the Brandon Keystone Center, when I was a very brief time in camp with the Wheat Kings, two stories out of that, but we stayed in the Keystone Motor Inn. Can't remember my roommate's name, but we couldn't get into the our room. You know how the old dangled keys with the long keychain are the thing? And two exotic dancers came down the hallway and said, here you go, our boys. Let us give you a hand with that. I was 16. It was like,
whoa. I know. Been there.
Yeah. Like, have you?
Not in that
you
exact situation.
You had a stripper open your hotel room door for
no,
you?
No, but I know the I can imagine the feeling. Like...
And there's just one more on that.
Can you help me with
that was 1980.
My TV.
That was 1988.
Yeah.
And these masks had just come in.
Yeah.
I was there wearing the old Chris Osgood look, the SK-2000 with the spider mask. Kelly Hitchens was the goalie for the Wheat Kings. He was the veteran goalie. Do you remember that name?
Yeah.
He had the first mask any of us had ever seen.
Super cool.
And it was like a cindercrete block. Like you put it on. Tong.
Yeah.
Like very heavy. And it was a white mask and it had black and yellow racing stripes on it that he'd got from an auto body shop. And everybody wanted one.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that was the story from Brandon. Donna in Central Butte. Happy birthday to your beautiful wife. I'm sure she's loving these stories right now. Carlos in Indianapolis, come for the sports, stay for the stories. If you haven't noticed, there is no sports right now. Well, there is NFL today, and we'll get to that. John in Edmonton, can you put this up on the screen, guys? John in Edmonton says, someone at a restaurant in the States saw me watching your show and said, that's the show from Toronto. And I said, nope, they don't broadcast in Toronto. And that guy said, don't agree with me. I know where the Canadian sports shows broadcast from. I understand what you're saying, John. No, everybody thinks we're out of Toronto. I think the last 10 minutes have cleared that up. We're in the sweatpants capital out here in Western Canada. Fair?
Fair.
Let's take a break. And they're telling me that we got Brendan Cotick ready to go from South Carolina from the Stingrays dressing room. Mandy at Edmonton has checked in, by the way. She says, flashback. I did find glitter around an ex's house all the way into the bedroom. Now you know. No charge. And Brady says, I would understand if they gave the Ravens the week off, but they didn't. Did I answer no to the poll question? What's the issue here? I don't know, Brady. Go in the corner and figure it out. The one thing is later on in the viewer takeover segment, I want to talk about the fact that the NFL has not canceled the game yet. Did we not discuss this yesterday? Adam Schefter said this is like a badge of honor for the National Football League.
Oh, yeah.
That they have not yet canceled a game. They're not going to cancel a game if they can get away with it.
That's right.
Come hell or high water. But look, they're playing hockey in the ECHL. I can't believe it. They're playing somewhere and it's pro. Brendan Cotick from the South Carolina Stingrays joins us next. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Wednesday coffee get-together. Prepare to have your minds blown. I just want to tell you, Brendan Cotick is a Regina guy, played with the Humble Broncos in Junior A, the Dauphin Kings, and then on to a pro, well, actually NCAA career with the University of Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs, and then pro with the Greenville Swamp Rabbits in the ECHL. Hartford Wolfpack in the A, the Toledo Walleye the last couple of seasons, and now he's coaching for the first time. He's with the South Carolina Stingrays, and he joins us today from beautiful Charleston, South Carolina. Brendan, thanks for the time, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, us too. And our viewers love the hockey talk. But I got to tell you, and as I said to you before we went on air, you're kind of blowing my mind here that you're just off the ice and you guys are playing. You understand there's been like no coverage of this, right, in Canada? Like, what's going on with your team and the ECHL?
The guys traveled last week. Some guys got to their place. You know, like, I mean, some of the teams that are playing right now just got there. But, you know, we had a couple skates and now it's official first day of training camp. So we're kind of in a mini bubble, essentially.
Okay.
So there's certain restaurants where guys can go and sit down that are approved. But
yeah, keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt. You just roll, man. Okay. Just explain what it's like. I'm sorry for jumping in there.
Oh, no, no worries at all. I wasn't sure if I was talking too much.
Nope.
So basically, yeah, we have a little bubble now. So there's restaurants that are approved by the team, the city, and the league. A certain amount of guys can go and sit down in those restaurants. Any other restaurant has to be a takeout order. And guys can go get groceries and all that kind of thing. We got to wear a mask, and it's essentially, you know, we're in it. And basically, it's a privilege right now to be playing hockey. And, you know, the guys understand how important that is. And just basically have to follow the protocol, and we get tested every morning with temperature kind of twice. Like, we'll do it at home in an app, and if there's anything going on, you're supposed to stay home from the rink, any symptoms. And then once you walk in the door, we have an actual like one that you put on your forehead there, and they take the temperature, and if you're feeling good and temperature is under a certain number, you're good to go.
That sounds to me exactly what the NHL teams went through with their own training camps and then went into the Toronto and Edmonton bubble. So is that the protocol that they're following, sort of, or this, like, the same systems?
Yeah, obviously we don't have the advanced technology the NHL had. Like, I had a couple buddies who were in the bubble who said they were, like, spitting into tubes and all that kind of thing. But, no, it's just the app is nice, though. You wake up at, you know, 6 a.m. and it's already ready, so you take your temperature. They ask you a bunch of questions, and if you have any, like, if you have nausea, headache, runny nose, sore throat, the app tells you to stay home, and our trainer gets a red flag, and he calls. And, you know, sometimes the very first time when I was here, I had, like, a little, just a little cough in my throat. It wasn't consistent or anything, so I was just being honest and marked it. And the app said to stay home. He called me right away, and it just was like, oh, no, I'm honest. And basically we all got tested, and, you know, our results came back negative. So
tell me a little bit more about the ECHL. I mean, you've played in it for long enough, you know all the teams and the markets. You said some have kind of taken a knee on this year. Like, I've heard this with US Junior and AAHL, but I have not heard it with the ECHL. So how are you guys going to play? What's the plan there, and who's not participating?
Yeah, so there's two Canadian teams, one in Brampton and one in Newfoundland. They were the first to kind of, you know, say they weren't playing just because the border is so tight in Canada and crossing all that. And then some states have put in, like, New York, I think Adirondacks out of there. So basically, anytime they leave the state, they have to do, like, a quarantine or a test again, and just didn't make sense. So there's, like, six teams in that conference. I think Maine, Adirondack, Worcester, Reading, Newfoundland, and I think Brampton's in there, so they're all out. And then there's, like, I think the central division that Toledo actually plays in, they're trying to push for a later start because there's some just with their states, there's no, like, indoor sports or all that, so they're trying to push it back, hoping that the, you know, COVID gets under control and they're able to get fans. But as of right now, we're set in our, I think there's 12 or 10 to 12 teams that are going. And, you know, it's just basically got to follow protocol. And like I said, it's an honor to play. So we got to do whatever we can to keep this rolling.
Yeah, we're 10 months into this, and we're realizing now that with the players, it's they want to follow the rules. They want to stay in before curfew because they don't want this to be taken away. And 10 months ago, I don't think they really understood that. And by the way, 10 teams, 12 teams, we're not going to hold you down on that, Brendan, but I can tell you I'm going to be going to the ECHL website and studying this myself. The sad thing is the Newfoundland Growlers will not be able to defend their championship because they sent me some of their gear. But hey, that's the way that it goes. I got to ask you something. You were the last time we saw you, you were playing, and now you're coaching.
Yeah,
that's quite a change. Yeah. Just tell me how that came about.
I've always been interested in that side of things. I had to find different ways when I was, kind of growing up. Wasn't always the best player. Had to be a hard worker, so I always had to find ways to stay in the lineup or, get better. And, a lot of the coaches, assistant coaches, head coaches at the levels I've been have been willing to work with me and tell me what I needed to do to get there. And I always thought that, one day I'd like to be in that same spot. So it's nice. Me, I'm being the assistant coach. I get to be in the locker room with the guys, so I don't miss that part. And then now I'm helping them try and get to the next level. And that, I think that's the biggest thing with all the practices and video and skill work. Like, that was something I was passionate about and I went through, so that's the reason I wanted to give back. And at some point the career has to end, and I'm very proud of what where I made it to. I got to play in the AHL, I scored a goal there, got to go to a couple NHL camps, played Division One, like things that I never thought at one point in my career that would happen and did, so I'm very proud of it. But at the end of the day, I was shut down D-man penalty kill, and my body was getting banged up, and just kind of was time for me with the pandemic and everything. It worked out.
So you're an assistant coach with the Stingrays. Who's the head coach and GM?
Ryan Blair. He was the assistant last year, and now he's the head coach.
And you had an association with him before this?
No, it was kind of weird. I was going around and talking to a few teams and actually got a couple jobs in the U.S., but I couldn't get visas right now, or I couldn't get a visa before with that. And I was kind of sitting at home and talked to a guy that I worked with, a camp in Duluth, Brett Olson, and he was looking for a place to play. And he had talked to Ryan here, and he had mentioned they were looking for an assistant coach, and he had passed on Ryan's info to me, and I gave him a call, and we talked for a couple days, and it seemed to be a good fit, and they got offered the job, and I accepted immediately.
Well, you now have tons of Stingray fans up here, Brendan, so we're going to be following this very closely. And let me ask you this. I'm going to let you get back to work after this question, but what's your schedule in the next little bit here in terms of when you guys actually start playing for real in competition?
Yep, so we first day was today. And then we have the rest of the week. We have an exhibition game Saturday in Greenville. And then basically a whole nother week. And then we open the season Friday against Greenville again.
All right. Well, again, we'll be following from ECHL.com. And producer Clark just notified me in the ear just to remind the viewers that you are a Humboldt Broncos alum. Clark knows I don't really like bringing it up if I don't have to, but when I'm talking with an alum, I will. We're coming up on what will be the 3-year anniversary here this spring. How did that affect you?
It was kind of weird. Whenever I was playing in Hartford at the time, and we were in Wilkes-Barre, and whenever I get to the rink, I always turn my phone on airplane mode. And just so I don't have really any distractions when I get to the rink. And so anyway, after the game, sitting on the bus, and I had a bunch of text messages from people from Regina, and kind of said, did you hear? Did you see what happened? And I didn't really know at the time. I wasn't on social media. So I went and looked, and I saw the accident, and my heart just kind of sunk, because I was sitting on the bus at the time I got the text. And, you think the bus is, a fortress, and kind of you're like, safe haven, nothing bad's going to happen. But when you see that, it definitely affected me being on a bus. I was a little uneasy as it was, but now that that had happened, and we have sleepers in the East Coast, like when I was in Toledo. So there were some nights you didn't get much sleep because the little rumble strip here or there. You think something bad's going to happen. So definitely affected me, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we think about them every day. Brendan, thank you for the time. This has been awesome. Hopefully we can check in throughout the year. And I, fingers crossed, praying that it continues. I know you guys are going to do all you can do. So good luck, my man, and thanks for catching up.
Thanks a lot, Rod. I appreciate it.
Brendan Kotick of the South Carolina Stingrays. Hang on, we got a sports update coming up next. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I do have a sports update coming up. I just want to apologize to some of our viewers that asked questions during the interview with Brendan Kotick there. I didn't get to your questions, but the interesting thing, Darren, was, and we can talk more about it here in this sports update, but or after the sports update, but they're doing the exact same testing that the NHL did on their players while they were in training camps before they went to the bubble.
Wow.
And you're seeing it now. The Raptors are doing it in Toronto. I saw it on day one of their training camp. It's, I don't know what it is because I haven't had it, but it's like a shot to the head. Right?
That's the temperature check.
That's what it is?
Yeah, they do it at, in all little places. I know with my niece, she goes to gymnastics, and they got a bing, top of the head, well, make sure the temperature's right.
Next hour, when Pat Fiacco joins us, maybe he can shed some light on this as the politician that he was. I said he's got the worldly view that I don't have. But is it because of this in America that they're doing this testing and they can get sports going because they've got faster testing? I don't know. I'm a little envious. I just say good for them. Instead of sitting around doing nothing. Sports update, Hamilton's Forge FC is out of the CONCACAF League tournament after a quarterfinal loss to Haiti's Arkaya FC last night. The game was tied 1-1 after regulation. Then the Haitians won 4-2 in a penalty shootout. Our soccer insider, Simon Fudge, will be joining us from Vancouver next hour. A lot to get to with him, including MLS, of course. Indianapolis Colts punter Rigoberto Sanchez says surgery to remove a cancerous tumor went well. The four-year veteran made the announcement in a Twitter post one day after he revealed the diagnosis on social media. Sanchez first learned he had a cancerous tumor late last week and after consulting with team doctors decided to play in the AFC South showdown with Tennessee on Sunday. That guy has got to win.
Bravo.
Whatever it is, comeback player of the year or whatever the NHL trophy is for Masterton, whatever the NFL's version is,
yeah,
he's got to win it.
Unbelievable.
The LA Lakers have re-signed veteran Jared Dudley to a one-year contract. The 35-year-old Dudley was a minor bench contributor during the Lakers' championship season. And utility man Chad Pinder reached a one-year deal worth about $2.8 million with the Oakland A's a day before the deadline for teams to offer deals to unsigned players on their rosters. This sports update is for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle your food and fun needs. And dang, we had a good time down there Saturday night for the Tyson Jones Jr. fight. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. You have 45 seconds, Darren. For the last word. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, where do we want to go with it?
I don't know. I'm just teasing you. Wherever you want.
We could go a lot of different places.
Oh, here's one. Nelson Hakowicz says 13,000 submissions for the new Edmonton football team name, including the Edmonton Escargot. We'll talk about that next hour.
Yeah. Is an Escargot a slug?
Yeah, a slug. Yeah, exactly. It won't be the Escargot, I don't think. Pat Fiacco will be with us next hour, the president of Boxing Canada, still Canada's toughest mayor, and our soccer insider. It's all coming up. See you on Game Plus or stick with us here on Facebook Live. Because I thought I was going to see Cyndi Lauper. And then I get there and she's nowhere to be found.
You just got duped.
I got duped.
Yeah.
Hey, who wants to get duped by duped?
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.